Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Al Morales, and this morning's conversation is with Comptroller of the Air Force, John Vonglis. Also joining us in our conversation is IBM's Public Sector Leader for Business Strategy, Rob Scavello. John, we understand that the Department of the Air Force is in the process of transforming itself, including financial management operations, and you've alluded to this in our last segment. How would you describe financial management's role in the transformation of the Air Force as an organization?
Thank you, Al. I think it's necessary for folks to understand that we have to transform as a service, and I'll limit myself to the service and to the financial organization because we have to ensure to all our constituents, and that's the American taxpayer and, of course, the young airmen that we're supporting, that we are victorious in this long war. And it is a long war. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint. And that's in all domains of the Air Force, in the air-breathing area, in space, and in cyberspace. And we cannot do that effectively if we have to or if we continue to rely upon old systems and practices. Decisions are made in ever tighter cycles these days, and it is inconceivable and actually it's inexcusable to have the private sector running that much more efficiently than we are, to have a $128 billion portfolio and to have difficulty obtaining even the most basic data sometimes, to have to call around via telephone to get information in what's known as data calls, whereas you should be able to pull it up on your desktop, is something that is mind-boggling. And yet it's also reassuring that despite that, we still do get things done, because at the end of the day, we will put the needs of the warfighter at the forefront. However, we have a responsibility and an obligation while we're here to leave the place a little better than we found it. And as such, we also need to move forward on systems and processes, enterprise-wise accounting systems, budgeting systems, things that just enable that decision maker to make those decisions in that tighter cycle. When you sit down at the table with a commander and you're his trusted advisor, what gives you relevance and what ensures that relevance is sustainable? Well, that's providing him with information that's of use to him. There's no sense in giving him month-old data. No sense in giving him information that is no longer of value. In that respect, I don't think we're different than in the private sector. You don't want your finance guy to read numbers to you. Anyone could read numbers. You want him telling you what's behind the numbers. And that to many of us, is very basic, but to others, not quite. What is it, you know, Mr. Commander, Miss Commander at, you know, Base X, that or Colonel or General or Major, that is trending yellow, and that if I don't alert you to this, you know, now, you'll have a problem, or you'll have an anti-deficiency violation, or something far more serious. Those are the things that we need to get ahead of. Or the secretary, for example, he should be able to pull up on his desktop a series of metrics, those that are important to him as the CEO of the organization, for the health of the Air Force, and those that we as functionals deem important for the financial health of the service, and be able to drill down to the base level and see how it's trending and why it's trending and what affects it. And I think we've made progress in that regard. I think we've got a system in place now that by the first quarter of the next fiscal year, we'll have up and running. I've seen the demo. The secretary's seen the demo. He's very impressed. As I mentioned, we have the financial systems that we put in place, the enterprise-wide accounting and budgeting systems, for example, which, by the way, will probably be used at some point DOD-wide. So I take a lot of comfort in that, and I'm very proud of the folks in the organization that have worked to kick this off. We have the Financial Services Center at Ellsworth Air Force Base that combines 83 some odd, or the processes, at least the standard processes that were found at 83 locations into one central location. You could access it via the web, via the telephone. No need for routine transactions, at least, for people to leave the flight line or to make special arrangements to go into a finance office. That's not to say that we're going to walk away from a presence at every base, because we're not. We're clearly going to be there for those issues that are more personal, or those issues that require some more involvement than you would get over the phone, clearly. So that's what I think we're doing.
Okay. If you could maybe go a little further about this Financial Services Center, We understand that, you know, the Air Force and financial management in particular is focusing on reducing transaction processing to free up resources to talk to do more of the strategic advisory role you just described. So maybe talk a little bit more about why you went in the direction of this center and how that provides the benefits to your function.
Sure, Rob. As you know, and I think like we'd like to believe, and I think it's very accurate to say that we've always been the trusted advisor to the commander. But as times have changed, so have Air Force requirements and needs. And as we all know, so have the dynamics that we're operating in as an organization, as a nation. So some time ago, we decided that we should consolidate where possible and return more billets to the warfighter to reduce the tail and increase the tooth, which is something that we all like to talk about. Toward that end, we looked at what processes can be consolidated, what are those that are going to be the least disruptive but add the most value, those that are redundant, those that are heavy with paper, those that are inefficient and costly to conduct on a daily routine basis, on a transactional basis. And, of course, we did a very thorough and in-depth analysis as to where this place should be located. Then we had the decision whittled down to two or three locations. Ellsworth was chosen for a number of reasons, force protection being one, and the infrastructure support being the other, which translates, of course, into dollars. And people's safety is goes without explanation, doesn't require any. So this location will service every member of the Air Force who has a routine pay transaction or pay issue, either accessible either the web or the telephone, 24/7, 365 days a year. You can be in Guam and have an issue, or you could be in Dover and have a question. You'll be able to get real-time access to somebody at this location.
You used the word paperless a little bit ago, and we do understand your organization is working to become more paperless, especially around the deployment environment. Can you tell us a little bit more about this effort in your area?
Sure. I think the amount of paper we go through is very difficult to convey, and to especially on a radio program. I wish I had stock in any paper company in this country. But 3 years ago, Mr. Monolongo, who was the assistant secretary at the time, and a lot of credit goes to him for some of these initiatives, is this notion of the combat comptroller, which is a 3 years young initiative that actually moves all accounting and paper related transactions from the Middle East to Shaw Air Force Base. They basically scan the document in. They upload it. Somebody at Shaw downloads it. And as a result, you eliminate boxes and reams of paper, the potential for it to get lost in transit, and the amount of money that's associated, and a little, of course, time. So that's something that we're very proud of. We have another initiative that we work with the Treasury Department. It's through their website, its.gov. And that eliminates mostly the paper checks and cash in theater. So that's something that's a partnership between two, you know, departments, cabinet departments, which we're proud of. And the last one that I think is just phenomenal, and I don't have a visual here, is our electronic version, or our converting what's known as the standard form 44 from paper to paperless. The device in its infancy looked like the readers you'd get from turning in your car at any car rental organization or company at any airport. And it you know, kicked out a little paper scroll of what the transaction was. And, you know, that was it. You were done with it. It's capable of conducting business in six languages, and it's capable of holding up to 200 contracts. That reader size, which was the size of the car rentals companies, is now somewhat and close to the BlackBerry size. So we've managed to reduce it. It also has a scanner, and it has a camera. So within the year, at least that I've been here, we've managed to take that and reduce it to by a fraction of its original size. And this is something that we had partnered with the Office of the Secretary of Defense, the Joint Program Office, to develop. So partnerships and within the building work. Yes, it's a large organization, but I think when folks are focused on what is important to the warfighter, and a huge element here is the safety issue, the force protection issue, because you don't have to bring a bunch of people outside the fence with you. They don't have to be exposed for any length of time. And as a result, you get everything done, most everything done, faster and better.
John, I only have 30 seconds, but I'm curious. Did you find that this or are you finding that this movement to a paperless model more technically challenging or culturally challenging?
A little of both, and that's the politician.
Okay. We'll leave it at that. What are some of the financial systems challenges facing the Air Force? We will ask Principal Deputy Assistant Secretary of the Air Force for Financial Management and Comptroller, John Vonglis, to share the details with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.